God is good, amen? And all the time, God is good. Isn't he a good God? He's a really good God. He's a good father. Have we ever really stopped, though, to think about what that means? What does that look like? That's what God's been speaking to my heart lately is we say that God is good, and we believe that, and we know that. It's a faith. We know that God is good, but what does that actually mean? I look and I see Christians that live defeated lives. I see Christians that battle depression. I see Christians that struggle with sin. I see Christians that struggle with their faith and what the scripture says. And I say, God is good. But I see so much defeat in the church, and I see so much, even in my own life, that I have to conquer, and I have the enemy attacks and our minds and our hearts and all the different things that I see. God is good. But what does that mean? And what can we hold on to today that could change our perceptions and our perspective about God and our lives and our walk with God so that it's not a defeated walk, it's not a depressive walk, but it's a victorious walk and it is a good walk, amen? That's what we want. That's the promise that God has for us, that we would be able to walk upright and we would be above all the different things that we have because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, amen? And that is a good thing. And we can say that God is good with confidence, but I want us to take a look at that today, and I want us to understand what that means, and I'm hoping that I can communicate this to you and convey this to you today. I want you to understand what it means for God to be good, and to be God to be good for you, so that we can leave this place today with an understanding, God is good, and what God is doing in me is good. Amen. That's what I want. And we're in Romans chapter 8, but I want to set this up just a little bit today. Life has a way of getting us down, doesn't it? If you've lived in your adult life any amount of time, you have an understanding that life has a way of getting you down. And actually, today, I've seen in the lives of young people, things and events in their life that I've not even had to face that could easily get someone down. We can feel so defeated. Have you ever felt like you give and you give and you give and you have nothing to show for it? Where we invest and we put time into, maybe it's we're working on our home or we're working on our finances, we're working on our family, but we look and we say, I have nothing to show for the work that I've done. That can be so overwhelming sometimes. And in our life, we can be so defeated by that. We can see all the time, the money, the blood, sweat, and tears that we've invested into something and not seen a return. And we can go, God, where are you in all of this? Where's your purpose in my life? Where's the goodness of the Lord in my life? We can sit there and say that because of all the defeat and all the depression and the things that we have faced and seen in our life and in this world. And then we catch ourselves going, God, where are you? But we know that he's there all the time. The Bible says that he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. We see all the promises that he has in his word. But I'm hoping today that we can look at this with a new light and a new perspective. And we can see the goodness of the Lord. As we move into this new year, I want us to change our perspective about how we look at things that happen in our life, whether it's good or bad, and how we move forward in God's plan and in God's goodness. In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, I'm starting here. This is not what I'm talking about today, but I'm starting here because I feel like this is a good understanding. It's a good foundation. The Holy Spirit is in our lives. When you received Jesus into your heart, into your life, and you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit, and God is in you now. So you're no longer alone. When you accepted Christ into your life, he is actually in your life. The Bible says that I died with Christ, and I was risen again, but I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. And with that understanding that I'm alive, but it's Christ living through me, that alone can change your perspective of how you live your life. To think that I'm not doing this in my own strength. I don't have to. I don't have to make these decisions on my own, but I have the Holy Spirit inside of me helping me in my weakness. Now, we all have weakness, don't we? Everybody. Doesn't matter what walk of life, doesn't matter what job you have, doesn't matter how much education you have, it doesn't matter how much money you have. We all have weaknesses in our lives. Some more than others, but we all suffer or struggle with some sort of weakness in our life. But what a comfort it is to know that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So no matter whatever you're facing, no matter whatever you're going through today, in your weakness, the Bible says that He is stronger. Somebody say, thank God I'm weak. I know that's a funny statement to say, but to know that God is stronger in my weakness, I want to be weak. Why would I say that? Because if I'm trying to do something in my own strength, what room is there for God to do something in my life? And how many times do I try to do something the wrong way? Or how many times do I get myself in a situation that's worse than when I started? Because if I would have just let somebody help me in my weakness. My wife can attest to this probably more than anybody. I'm a stubborn person, and whenever I want to do something and I don't know how to do it, I want to figure it out. I don't want it to defeat me. I want to beat it. Amen. That's just the way I am. And I will sit there, and they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, expecting different results. And I will sit there and do that, and I will try to make that screw fit in that thing no matter what I do, and it doesn't work. And if I would just let somebody help me, church, if I would just let somebody help me through my problem, through my circumstance, through that trial, whatever it is that I'm facing, I have a Holy Spirit inside of me that wants to help me in my weakness. Can somebody say amen this morning? And if we understand that, if we understand that we have a helper in our weakness, that's the foundation for everything. That's the foundation, because no matter what you face, if you don't have the strength to do it, guess who does? God. Amen? Hallelujah. I need to move on. I could talk about just that one little part forever. Hallelujah. But not only does He help us in our weakness, but even when we don't know how to pray, that verse goes on to say, let's read the rest of that verse in 26. It says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Hallelujah. When we don't even have the words to pray, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you, and He's going after it with the Father, and He's saying, this is what they need. Let's move. Let's do it right now. And that gives me hope. That gives me encouragement to know that even when I don't have the words to pray, God is praying for me, through me, in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, this is getting good already. I love God's word. In verse 28, of Romans chapter 8, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, we've all heard that verse. I've probably quoted that verse 1,000 times since I've been in leadership here. And that's something that we always go to. It's a go-to verse whenever we're going through trials and situations, because it helps us when we understand that God works things for good when we're going through bad. Amen. It helps us to know that God's working it out. It's almost kind of like when your children mess up and they do something, maybe they break something or they make a mistake. And whose job is it to fix it? Mom and dad. Whether you have to pay whatever fine or whatever thing, it's mom and dad's responsibility to take care of the child. Well, that's, God is no different as a father. And when we make mistakes, He as a father intervenes. And He has to work things for good when we get in bad situations or when bad things happen to us. When someone's picking on my children, guess who's going to step in and take over? Because they're not going to mess with my children. And God is no different as a father. He looks after you and He begins to work things for good on your behalf. Now, with that understood, that doesn't mean that God always gives us what we want. And when we need a car, say for instance, we have our own maybe mentality of what we think we need or deserve or want, and we may not get that car. You're not going to have a Lamborghini drive up because you're in need of a car. That's not going to be the keys that are handed to you. You might get a beat up truck that looks horrible, but it runs, and that's what you needed, was some place to get to A to B, and that met your need, and God was there to provide good for you in your circumstance. But it's a matter of perspective. And it's a matter of how we look at it to understand that God is working for the good of those who love God. And it's not always what we want, but it's definitely good for us. And I want to talk about that for just a moment. We feel defeated. And when the enemy comes against us, he attacks us, he steals from us, or our family, we hold on to the truth that God is working for us. And we can face whatever happens to our life. God's working those things for good. And we need to understand that his promises, that there are good things coming from all things, no matter what it is. But he didn't say, and this is what I want to make the point, he didn't say that we would see it. When we go back to that scripture in verse 28, it says, it doesn't say, for we see. It says, and we know. And I think it's important for us to realize that we don't always see the good. And they always say hindsight's 20/20. I can look back on my life and any bump in the road that I had or any circumstance where God did something for me, I may have not seen it at the moment. But looking back in my life, I can see pinpoint places where God moved in my life and did something for me and worked on my behalf. But we may not see it in the moment. We may not see the outcome of it. And you know what? I'm going to go as far to say we may never see the good that God does. Maybe only eternity might be able to tell the story of the good that came from the situation that you went through. But that's where we have to trust God. And that's why it doesn't say, for we see that God is working all things for good, but it says, for we know. And we have to go into these circumstances and these storms in our life with a knowing and an understanding that God is working things for good. And that requires faith. And yes, church, sometimes that's hard. And sometimes we have to sit back and trust God. But when I heard the news that my grandfather was murdered point blank over $1,600, and left for dead there in an apartment building in a rough part of Jackson, Mississippi. And my heart cringed and I wept and I was so sad and filled with anger. And I said, God, what good can come out of this? This wasn't good for me. This wasn't good for my family. This wasn't good for my grandfather. This wasn't good for anybody, not even the person who was responsible. It wasn't good. What good could come from something that tragic? But you know, I gave it to God. And I sat there, and I was in the sanctuary, and I was praying, and I said, God, I need you. I need your peace, I need your love, I need your guidance in all of this. And you know what I heard? The first thing I heard was forgive. And at first that was hard, but I trust God so much that I said, okay, God, I forgive them. I forgive all of those that were responsible for that, and I let that go. And he said to me, and not so many words, but I could just feel the impression that God was telling me. He said, he's got this, and he said, the good will be my responsibility, not yours. And I said, okay. I stepped back, and I said, Lord, I trust you. I miss my grandfather. I feel the pain and I feel the loss and I feel the hurt. But I trust you, God, so much that I know something good came out of that. I don't know what. But I know that we've had an opportunity to minister to the people that were involved in that. Even to the point at their trial, several of our family got up and spoke words of forgiveness, love, and comfort, and God's love to them. And they heard that. We had an opportunity to share the love of Christ with those that were responsible for my grandfather's death. And that was hard, but we felt God's peace in it. And trying to understand the goodness of God goes so far beyond what my mind can even comprehend. So who am I to think that I should be able to quantify God's goodness? That I should be able to make sense of God's goodness. That I could put it in a package, in a box, and put a label on it and say, I know this is God's goodness. And sure, there are many times we will see God's goodness. It will be evident to us. But there are many times that it may be far above our comprehension. And we have to understand that it is for the good of those who love God. We just have to believe it. We have to trust that God is working for our good and to know that when bad things happen, they happen to everyone. We're not exempt from it as believers, but he promised two things. He promised us that he will be with us through it all and that he will work it for good. And the Holy Spirit inside of us and his peace will come over us Guys, I'm a big advocate for God's peace. I know that that's become a Christian cliche, the peace of God. But I'm telling you something, it's real. And to know that when you're going through hard times, let me tell you something, the pinnacle of God's peace, and I know that I haven't even experienced all of it, but the level that I've experienced is a hope to know that no matter what I go through, no matter what pain I face, no matter what situation I go through, it's to know that I'm going to be okay because I'm in God. And it's such a peace. It's something I cannot conjure. I can't make it up. I can't do it. But it's just a knowing that God's peace will get you through everything. Even death has no sting. Amen? With the peace of God, the goodness of God. Well, I want to talk about good. Since we're on the subject of good, I want to talk, because this is the big point that I'm trying to make here, is it's our opinion of what good actually is. And it's our perspective and perception of how things go. And I want us to try to understand good for just a moment. I think McDonald's is good. I do. I love a good McDonald's cheeseburger. And people think I'm crazy because sometimes I would prefer to go to McDonald's than like a 5-star restaurant. I know I can get my little $3 cheeseburger meal at McDonald's and be just as happy if I paid $16 for a steak. I'm serious. I love McDonald's. McDonald's is good to me. It tastes good. I love it. Not everyone agrees with that. Not everyone likes McDonald's. Some people are like, that's all right. Even in my household, we're divided about it. My daughter will ride with me when we leave church because we'll go to McDonald's. But my son will ride with my wife because she won't. But McDonald's is good to me. It's not good to everybody. Now, if the scripture had said, we know that God makes all food good, and if he made all food taste like McDonald's, it would be good. And I would say, hallelujah, because that would be good to me. But that would not make everybody happy, would it? If all food tasted like McDonald's, that would not make everybody happy. So we understand that we have a different opinion about what good is. Amen? I think that's really important to understand, that your perception of what is good. This will change how you view God's goodness. Hopefully in a better way, but when we understand that our definition of good might not be what God's definition of good is, and we need to understand that, and we need to get in line with that. Now, I'm not saying that we have to lower our standards of good, but we are realigning what our mentality is when it is concerning good. And when you line up with God's version of good, then your perception and your understanding of what good is will help you live your life better. Because God's way is better. Amen? The Bible says his ways are higher, his thoughts are far above anything that we can understand or comprehend. And when we get in line with what his version of good is, then we will have a better understanding of how to live well. Amen? Good is not always better. Let me explain that. And we're still on the subject of food. Food that is good for you is not always the better tasting food, is it? I like McDonald's, but it is not good for me. It's good to me in the way that my taste buds enjoy it, and I'm getting hungry. But it is not good for me. And food that is good for me is not always desirable. Things that are good for us are not always what we desire or what we want, but it is good for us. Activity and exercise is good for you, but that is not often what we choose to do. So if someone was to say, I'm going to work good in your body this year, that does not mean sitting on the couch, eating potato chips, watching a movie. I'm preaching to myself, by the way, just letting you know. But to work for my good in my body, I would have to do something. I would have to work out. I would have to change my diet. I would have to engage in something healthy, good for me, but not necessarily what I would want to do. And there are pains in that. And there are hurts in that. So good is not always better, but it's better for you. Okay. So we need to understand that good is a matter of perspective. What is good for us and what is the good and what is good for us is all determined by God. And that's why it's not always what we want. And here's another example. Some relationships need to be terminated in our life because they are not good for you. and to terminate those relationships would not be what we want. To get those people out of our life might not be what we want. We have friends that we really like their company. Maybe that that boy or that girl is paying me attention, and I enjoy that attention, but it is not good for me. It feels good to me, but it is not good for me, and I may need to terminate that relationship in my life. So when we ask for the goodness of God and He does what is good for us, when that person is removed from our life, we may see that as a penalty or a punishment or something bad that has happened to us, but that was actually good from a different point of view. You understanding how God may see your life in a different light than we see our own, and relationships and the friendships and the things that we allow. Maybe it's a sin that we're committing regularly. Maybe it's food that we're not eating correctly or taking care of our bodies. Whatever it is, when God says, I work for the good for you, it may not be your perspective of good, and it may hurt, and it may not be what you thought it was going to look like. But with the level of trust, and there's a level of belief in God to say, hey, God, I trust what you're going to do in my life, and I want you to work for the good of me who loves you, and to trust Him that in the end it's going to be okay. If I changed my diet and I worked out and exercised, I might look like Arnold Schwarzenegger when it's all said and done. Amen. It's not a tumor. And that was a really bad impersonation of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but that's okay. I'm not going to quit my day job, don't worry. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to trust Him. Sometimes the biggest enemy is the enemy in me, as I heard someone say one time. And we'll say that again. Sometimes our biggest enemy is the enemy in me. And I'm sometimes my worst enemy, because going back to trying to work things out in my own strength, sometimes we get in the way. And sometimes we don't allow God to do the good in our lives because we are, I'm going to just go ahead and say it, because sometimes we're too lazy to actually get up and do it. Sometimes we are not, we're apathetic, we're complacent, we're comfortable, we're just too comfortable. But we have to sometimes do something for God to move in our behalf. Sometimes we got to get out of the way and let God do something, or be obedient in some situations. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 8:31. And it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who graciously gives us all things? I'm going to stop there. That's all I need to hear. When I hear things like, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's all. It's almost kind of like, you had me at hello. I mean, that's it. That's all I needed to hear, was to know that God is on my side of the fence. He's with me. He is for me. He is working good for me. Then what can stand against? When I know that my God, who has never failed me, who's never let me down, who's never forsaken me, who has helped His people throughout generations, who came to this earth, died for my sins, and rose again, and now lives in me, is for me. Who can stand against me? That's all I need to know right there. That He gave His only Son, God gave His only Son for me. So He's already started working good for us even before we were born. He set the foundation for Him to do the work in your life. First of all, He needed to be inside of us, didn't He? So the Holy Spirit could help us in our weakness. We learned that in the very first verse I read. That was step number one. So that we have power-assisted life through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever driven a car that didn't have power steering? No one in this generation would know. Maybe. I've driven one. Every other car that I've had actually had power steering. It's hard, isn't it? It takes several goes around with that wheel, and you have to really put some elbow grease into that to make a turn. But when they introduced power steering, how much easier was it? A lot easier. That's like the Holy Spirit. Trying to live your life without the Holy Spirit is like driving a car without power steering. You're not going to get anywhere. But when you have power-assisted life in you, that was the foundation for God to do a good work in us. That's all I needed to know. It's the proof that God wants good for us, because He gave His Son. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to just step out of Romans for just a moment, but hold your place because we're going to go back there. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. I'm going to stop there for just a moment, then I want to read on. When I was in China, we went to a Pizza Hut there, and it's not like it was in America. They had things on their pizza like corn and sushi and other different types of fish and things like that. It was just, I'm sitting here looking, I was like, when they said Pizza Hut and we were in China, I was like, oh yeah, this is good. You know, it's like the next best thing to McDonald's. You know, I can eat there. And then when I look at the menu, I was just like, the wind was like knocked out of me because I was like, there's nothing on this menu. This is not Pizza Hut. This is China Hut. I mean, this is weird. But I'm going to try. So I asked the hostess there or whatever, the waitress, and I said, can I have just a cheese pizza? And they were like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, so they did that for me. And they delivered this cheese pizza right out there in front of me. And everyone else gets these sushi pizzas and these corn pizzas. And I'm sitting here just eating this pizza. And I'm smiling the whole time, you know. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. And everyone's looking at me the whole time I'm doing this going, where did you get the cheese pizza? It wasn't on the menu. And I looked at them and I said, you have not because you asked not. Amen? That's right. That is a biblical principle that I am not afraid to ask. I'm not ashamed to say, one quick story, one more, and I'm going to wrap this up. We were at a, what was that place called? Real fancy place, P.F. Chan. And there was absolutely nothing on the menu. And they came out and they were like, so if you decided what you want? I said, there's nothing I want, I'm fine. And they were like, oh, come on, there's got to be something. So I said, well, if you'll just bring me just a piece of baked chicken, that's all I want. I know you got it back there. You're going to put all that gross stuff on it. But so just bring me the chicken without all the stuff. So she comes back later and she says, if you decided what you want? And I said, yeah, I want the chicken, just the chicken. So she comes back again. She asked me, have you decided what you want? I said, I don't want anything. I can't find anything on the menu I want. The manager comes back next and she says, I just cannot believe that somebody can't find anything on this menu that you want. So she went down item by item and she explained to me what was on it. I said, nope, 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 nope. Has it got that sauce on it? Nope. And she said, wow, I have met the first person that, and so I said, look, if you'll just bring me a piece of chicken, that's all I'm asking for. And they brought me my piece of chicken and I ate it. It was good. You have to ask for what it is that you want. And if there's something in your life that you're going through, an issue, a problem that God can help you, we need to sometimes stop and just ask for it. We need to knock on the door. We need to be like that woman in the Bible that was so persistent that she wouldn't quit asking. She wouldn't quit asking that judge. She wouldn't quit asking, and she was so persistent till he finally caved and he said, okay, you get what you asked for. But sometimes we give up too soon. We ask and then we walk away. Have you ever pressed an elevator button and then just walked away? And then when you did, the door opened? You got to sit there and wait for it. We're sometimes really impatient. Amen. So I want to move on. In verse 9, it says, or what man among you, if his son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give you a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I love how he says that. He called us evil. He said, even you evil people know how to give good gifts. How much more will the Father in heaven be able to answer the request that you put before him and say, I need you, Heavenly Father. I need you, God. I need your goodness. I need your grace. I need your mercy. And all we have to do is ask for it. But remember, the perspective of God is different than yours. And when you get the answer, it may not be the one you were looking for. Remember, no is another answer. It's a hard answer to hear sometimes, but sometimes God may say no to that request and give you something better, better for you. It may not taste better. It may not taste like McDonald's, but it is good. because God is good. Amen. And I'm wrapping this up. And this is my favorite part of this message right here. Going back to Romans 8, chapter 35. Go ahead and flip back there. Hopefully you saved your spot. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the goodness of God. Consider Job for just a moment. He lost everything. I mean everything. His family, his possessions, his own children. He lost them all. His health was even affected. But he never gave up on God. Now, if you've read Job, he complained a lot. In fact, there are chapters that said he complains about this. And then he complains about this. He complained. There were some times I'm sure he probably shook his fist up at heaven and said, why me? As many of you in this room might have said, why me? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to go through this over and over and over again? But let me tell you something about Job. There's one thing that he never lost. Besides his own life, he never lost his relationship with God. He never lost his relationship with God. So basically, he could say that he was convinced that neither life nor death, angels or demons, present or future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation, was able to take God away from him. And that, my fellow believers, my friends this morning, that's the goodness of God right there. At its bare bones. If we could come to a place in God where we lost every possession that we owned and still found the peace and the love of God in our life. If we lost every family member that was dear to us but could stand tall and say, I still love my God because he is so good to me. This world would go berserk. They would say, you've lost your mind. You've lost everything that you own. Everyone that you love is dead and yet you still praise your God? Why? Because he's good. He's good to me. And my possessions and my wealth have no measure according to what God is to me. And I love my family and I hold them in high esteem and I would put my life above theirs. But if I was to lose every one of them, my love in God is so much greater. My hope and my faith in him is so much stronger than anything on this earth. And there's nothing that holds me back from God, not even my family. As much as I love them and as much as I would give my life for them, they don't come before my God. That's the goodness of God. When you can have that level of faith and that level of hope and that level of goodness in your life, that is when you're walking the Christian walk. Everything bounces off of you. Nothing gets to you. You don't feel anger or you don't act on your anger. You don't sin in your anger because you have the goodness of God in your life and in your heart. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Church is all a matter of perspective. Now we learn in Job chapter 42, 12, it says, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginnings. Even in all of the loss that he suffered, even in all the things that he lost, in the end, he got more than he had in the beginning because of the goodness of the Lord. Now, do you think that he might would have rather had his first wife rather than this second family? You think that he didn't miss his children that he lost the first time around? Of course he did. Of course it hurt, and of course there was loss, and of course he grieved, but the Lord blessed him. Even more so than he had the first time around. We've got to stop looking through eyes of this world. My source of strength is not Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Fox News, CNN. That is not my source of strength, and I don't care what they say anymore. I'm just sick of hearing it, because it matters not when it compares to the goodness of our Lord. It matters not when it comes to the things of eternal matters in my heart and my life. That's what's important. That's what matters. And this is the only news I need to read. This is the only news that I need to be concerned with, because this is the goodness of our Lord. You're not going to get goodness out there in the world. I get so bombarded when I read these comments about Christianity and things. It breaks my heart to even hear from people that I knew grew up in the church and I knew that knew the truth would curse God. It breaks my heart. But all I can focus on is me and the people that hear my voice, that I can share the truth with you, and I can share the truth with all of those that hear this online. I can share the truth of God's goodness. But even better than that, I can live it, and my life can be a testimony of God's goodness. That's what I desire, is for our lives to be a testimony, so that when others see your life, they go, "What did you do? What have you got a hold of?" And you can just simply say, "The goodness of the Lord." God is good. And all the time. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise this morning. Come on, let it resound. God, you're so good. In Psalms 23, verse 6, it says, "Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the promise. That's the hope. The joy that we have is that we are alive in Him, and His goodness and His mercy will follow. And finally, I'm going to leave you with one more scripture. I say this a lot. Youth are probably tired of hearing this, but it's so true. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Prosper you, not to harm you." That's the goodness of the Lord for you this morning. I pray that you all have a great new year. I pray that 2019 for you is a fabulous year full of the goodness of the Lord. I speak that over you in Jesus' name, that we get a hold of the perspective of God's goodness. Come on, praise Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. And Lord, as we close this service today, I pray that you be with each and every person today. And I pray, God, you bless their life with your goodness. I pray, God, that you tune us, God, that you align us with your goodness, Father, so that we understand what is good in our life and how to recognize it and how to walk in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Y'all have a great afternoon. God bless you all. Happy New Year.